Okay, so today I want to do an evening looking at the positive feeling tones in our experience, the pleasurable aspect, the pleasurable dimension of experience. It's something that perhaps we don't often make a point of exploring and dwelling in, but it's a very worthwhile thing to do, and it's very much in the spirit of the theme of positive emotion. I'm going to be putting this handout on the website, so no need to worry about remembering it. So I'll just dive right in. So firstly, I wanted to mention the jhana factor. So when we talk about difficulties, we're often talking about hindrances, what keeps us from being in a state of absorption or dhyana. And the counterpoint to that is there are these factors, dhyana factors, which are sort of qualities of experience which gradually accumulate and augment until we find ourselves settling into an experience of absorption or dhyana. So the factors are priti, which is a pleasurable physical experience, sukha, which is a pleasurable state of mind. And then there's two, vitaka and vichara, which I like to think of as bringing to mind and bearing in mind. So it's a sort of bringing the attention onto the focus of the practice and then sustaining attention on the focus of the practice. And then finally there's ekagata, which is one-pointedness, so it's a coming together. So I just wanted to mention those because within them there are these two pleasurable vedanas. There's pleasurable physical vedana, priti, and there's a pleasurable state of mind, or happiness, which is sukha. And I wanted to also mention the early spiral nidana. So the spiral nidana is a sort of augmentative description of the path, goes all the way to enlightenment, but it starts with something that's more about moving into a state of absorption. So it's got priti and sukha in there, followed by samadhi, which basically means concentration or absorption. But it unpacks it a bit more. So it actually starts with clarity of conscience, avipatisara. Yeah. So it's a sort of inner clarity, almost a sort of luminosity, but it's very much one that's aligned with having a clear conscience, so it's sort of very much aligned with the sensitivity to the ethical tone of experience, and a complete freedom from regrets leads to a very sort of clear and wholesome mental state. And then that's followed by pamoja, which means gladness, and then you move into priti, which is usually translated as rapture, but priti is more of a sort of a tingle, if you like, or a rush of energy. It's sort of got a sort of vital, energetic sort of dimension to it, but it's very much felt in the body. And then the spiral nidanas go on to prasadi, or prasabdi in Sanskrit, so that's tranquility. So you might have come across a book on meditation called Meditation, the Buddhist Way of Tranquility and Insight. So tranquility is this word, prasabdi. And that's followed by sukha, which is usually translated as bliss, but it's very basically it's a pleasurable vedana in the mind. Okay, so it's a sort of very enjoyable state of mind. It's not a physical experience. And there's a sort of increasing subtlety in going from something that's a very tangible physical experience to something that's entirely in the mind. And then that leads you into to samadhi or concentration. So that's a sort of heads up. There's a strong link with working with meditation, between working with meditation and pleasurable experience, pleasant vedanas, both in the body and the mind. So at this point, I wanted to drop in a short reading from the middle length sayings, and hopefully Will's all set.
I considered. I recall that when my father, the Sakyan, was occupied, while I was sitting in the cool shade of a rose apple tree, quiet, secluded from sensual pleasures, secluded from unwholesome states, I entered upon and abided in the first jhana, which is accompanied by applied and sustained thought, with rapture and pleasure born of seclusion. Could that be the path to enlightenment? Then, following on that memory, came the realization, that is the path to enlightenment. I thought, why am I afraid of that pleasure that has nothing to do with sensual pleasures and unwholesome states? I thought, I'm not afraid of that pleasure, since it has nothing to do with sensual pleasures and unwholesome states.
So this is the Buddha, and he's describing a key turning point in his own practice, in his own practice that led him in the end to enlightenment. And it's a realization that far from pursuing these very abstruse and elevated states of meditation, what he wanted to do was to go back to a very early experience, which was just a natural settling in to a state of absorption or concentration, which is a very natural human state. It's basically just the state of undistractedness. It's the first of a whole series of stages of absorption. So as the first, it's not by any means a distant or highfalutin or abstruse sort of state. It's actually something we're all probably familiar with from one time or another. Say you've just been very happily engaged in an occupation, whatever it is, you may well have been in a state of absorption. Or if you were just completely contented in doing nothing, enjoying the sunshine and the weather or something, may also be in a state of absorption. So this is what the Buddha's doing. He's kind of going back to a very enjoyable experience from his childhood, where there was a lot of pleasure, there was a lot of pleasant sensation, but it wasn't tinged with craving, so it didn't have that quality of sense desire, which is one of the hindrances. And he's saying, well, why would I be averse to this experience of pleasure? Surely it's actually the path to enlightenment. And he decided that it was. So this is, again, by way of motivating us to, regard pleasant physical sensation as part of the practice, as part of the path into meditative absorption, and that's a supportive basis for developing wisdom. Okay, so from here, I'm drawing on some teaching of Dajetanya, and so this is a sort of positive spiral. It's not a traditional spiral path that's found in the canon, but it's just on reflection, realizing that there's a sort of spiral, a sort of augmentation of positive and enjoyable experiences, where if we bring our awareness to pleasant sensations, whether that's physical or mental, and bring in a sort of interest and curiosity in what that is, exploring the actual felt experience of it, the nuance of it, then that can lead to a quality of presence, a quality of concentration, a quality of absorption. So a word about this word concentration. It's not a false concentration, it's not a furrowed brow. You may have heard this word used when you were at school along the lines of, will you pay attention or concentrate? Well, it's not that sort of concentration. It's a very relaxed undistractedness. Undistractedness is probably a better word. Okay. So there's a positive cycle, and this cycle sort of involves, in each stage it involves a sort of twin aspects of centering the attention, so bringing to mind first, so centering the attention on whatever is pleasurable in your physical experience or whatever is pleasurable in your state of mind, and then relaxing into, so relaxing into that experience. So very often the way deeper is through relaxing into where you are rather than from trying to generate something different. Okay. So, yeah, meditation initially involves centering the attention on its chosen object, and then it deepens by relaxing into that. Okay, so this particular spiral is described in terms of bringing attention to pleasurable vedana, to pleasurable feelings, And this in itself can bring about a deepening intensity or a deepening refinement. Just bringing attention to, centering attention on, taking an interest, that can deepen. Relaxing into the experience is also a way of deepening. Yeah? So to take an example of that from the dhyana factors that I was mentioning earlier. So there's a natural sort of transition as you get more settled and more absorbed, in which the physical pleasurable experience of pritti is sort of absorbed more into the space of awareness, which has this positive pleasurable tone of sukha. Okay, so when you've got that experience of pretty settling into, absorbing into sukha, that's a sort of deepening of the practice. It's very characteristic of the move from the second to the third dhyana, but it's also it doesn't necessarily just happen at that point. It's actually in general, it's a sort of indicator of a settling, a deepening, a moving into a more absorbed state. And indeed, when you find that, as you're moving into absorption, it's when you find that pritti is kind of quietening and sukha is kind of becoming more apparent. That's often when the dhyana factors are kind of coming together in a more one-pointed way, and first dhyana is becoming established. So that actual initial move into absorption into the first dhyana is often characterized by a sort of settling of pritti and an emergence of sukha. So that's the main focus of today. I've got a couple of parallels, which I don't want to dwell on, but I thought I'd mention, which are the other two types of vedana. So, feelings can be pleasurable, they can be painful, they can be neutral. And so there's a sort of negative spiral, a sort of negative counterpart with painful vedana, where painful experience is kind of liable to prompt a state of aversion, which can sort of follow on to a state of to a sort of a tendency towards avoidance. You know, I don't like it, so I'm trying to avoid it. And then when you're avoiding your experience, it can kind of all blank out. You know, if you succeed in cutting out your experience, then you're left with a rather blank state of mind. So that's a sort of negative spiral, which is taking us away from absorption. And then there's a sort of neutral counterpart as well, which is not quite as painful, but not helpful. And so with neutral vedana, well, there isn't anything particularly painful, but there's an absence of pleasure. And pleasure's often kind of what engages us. So when there's kind of just nothing particularly pleasant going on, it's all quite neutral, you can get quite disengaged. And if we're disengaged, if we're not taking an interest, it can get kind of boring. And when the mind's bored, it sort of switches on the inner entertainment centre and you kick off the distraction and fire up that movie or the soundtrack in your mind and away you go. So that's the other option. Okay. So, I don't want to dwell on those. I want to dwell on the positive spiral that I've mentioned. So this is a positive spiral where pleasant vedana leads to interest, curiosity, and then from there to a sense of presence, absorption, concentration, to a sort of being integrated around, being with. But that's not the only possibility. It's not the only skillful way of engaging with experience. So those of you who were around in the first talk I did may remember that was on the theme of turning towards hindrance. So hindrances are difficult experiences which can become distractions quite easily. But it's possible to turn towards difficult experiences where we're actually turning towards the felt experience, to the actual emotion and feeling tone, rather than to the content of the thoughts that proliferate around it. And this itself is also a positive move in meditation. So this is a different but equally skillful approach to working with experience and meditation. And so these are both creative responses to experience. So this positive spiral is a creative response to pleasurable experience. And this turning towards hindrance is a creative response to difficult, to painful experience. And it's worth doing both. It's worth engaging both ways. There's a number of ways of working creatively in meditation, and here's two complementary sort of possibilities. I think this one gets more airtime. This one is probably more talked about, so that's why this one's worth mentioning. There are also the possibilities of the reactive mind. So in relation to experience, we can respond creatively with mind creative, or we can respond reactively with mind reactive. So some of you may be familiar with this teaching of Sangha Rinpoche, who's the founder of our order, of mind reactive and mind creative. And the title page rather cleverly points out that the differences between the word reactive and creative just involves taking this one letter from the middle of reactive and putting it at the beginning, and there you go. So again, just the mention of the things to watch out for, things to avoid, because they can wind up just happening out of habit without a deliberate conscious intention to do it. So the first one I've already mentioned, which is the negative spiral. So if you find you're in painful experience, you may find that you're kind of responding with aversion, trying to avoid it, and winding up in a rather dull state of mind. So that would be a negative spiral. That leaves this one, this one little quadrant over here. Is it actually possible to respond reactively to a pleasant experience? Well, yes it is, because craving or greed is also mind reactive. And there's something in the tradition which is called desire or tanha for a particular experience. So bhava means a sort of a particular state of being, if you like. It's very much the same word as bhavana. So we're practicing the metta bhavana to sort of cultivate and develop a particular state of being, a bhava. But we're doing it without craving. So metta is kind of the opposite of craving, really. So bhava tanha is very much the same sort of thing as sense craving, which is one of the hindrances. But in this context, it's kind of getting attached to meditation experiences. So you might have had some experience of absorption, and you might have found that the associated experience of pretty, this delightful physical rapture sensation, but sort of subtle, expansive, deeper sense of bliss, is something you really want again. You really want it. So you're trying to get into that meditation state that you got into whenever it was, sometime in the past. So the pitfall here is trying to repeat a previous peak experience, which is self-defeating, because it's based on craving, and that's the hindrance. And it's going to keep you out of actual states of absorption. Okay. So I've got a little exercise which I wanted to move on to, but before I do, there's an opportunity for questions. If there's anything I said that wasn't clear, or that just kind of went by a bit too quick, then now's a good time to ask. So particularly whether interested in whether the sort of patterns make sense. You know, so maybe some of the words weren't so familiar, but the patterns, the way in which one thing leads to another. I hope exactly that makes sense.
Yeah, I've got a question. So are you saying that we're either in pleasant, painful, or neutral Vedana all the time. So one of those little spirals is kind of, or more than one, just let's say one, is going on all the time.
Well, any particular experience will be either pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. Mm-hmm. There's probably a mix, actually. You know, if you sort of bring your attention to your current experience, you'll probably find a mix. You know, some things are kind of achy and painful, some things are actually quite live and pleasant. Mm-hmm. So that's the starting point, the experience, the sort of raw sense experience, if you like. And some of it will be pleasant, some of it will be painful, some of it will be kind of neither pleasant nor unpleasant, neither pleasant nor painful. And then it's a question of, well, how's the mind responding? So it can get pretty complicated, and yet there's usually something in particular that's calling our attention. So there's often a lot going on, but amongst that, you know, diversity of experience that's all going on, there's probably something that's particularly calling our attention. And then that's one that we'll may well be responding to in one way or another. So these particular little spirals, they're not the only option. They're sort of highlighting the way engaging with pleasant experience can be very creative, and engaging with painful experience can be very unhelpful. But that's not necessarily the case, it's just two options. But there is this common characteristic that the sort of creative response is a more kind of responding as an individual, responding creatively, you're more kind of present. It's perhaps something you're bringing more kind of decision to.
I suppose maybe my question was more, are we always doing something on the basis of pleasure? So are we always either moving towards the creative, or are we always moving towards the reactive? I mean, obviously there's more than one thing going, you know, there might be both, but is there always something, are we always doing something either way on the basis of the experience, you know, the experience of...
Yeah. A good question. I wouldn't like to assert an answer to that, really. It's definitely, I think it's one to explore in experiences. Is one of these going on?
As long as craving and aversion are still operating to some extent.
Craving and aversion are happening down here. That's a sort of reactive option, isn't it?
I think if you're in a state of a more kind of an absorbed or the right word, aware state, then what is you're not responding in terms of craving aversion to those experiences. You're just aware of the experiences in a bare sense.
So I'm not just talking about the reactive response, I'm also talking about the creative response. Are we always either responding reactively or creatively?
Well, in that case, being aware of would be the creative response. Yeah.
I think probably. I'm reluctant to assert that yes we are, because that would be telling you what your experience is. It's not so helpful to
you. Are you effectively asking whether those are continuums? I mean, in that, could you be like partway along the reactive, creative spectrum, but like somewhere in the middle of that, you know, I mean, if I'm at work and I'm just doing my work and I'm not particularly feeling hyper kind of inspired, but on the other hand, not feeling awful about it, I'm sort of somewhere kind of fairly neutral, just getting on with it kind of thing. then am I somewhere in the middle of that?
Well, that that's you starting with an experience just of neutral, isn't it?
Yeah, but I'm not experiencing pleasure nor pain, and I'm not being particularly creative, and I'm not being particularly reactive either, am I? I'm just somewhere.
I suppose you could be just running on habit, which isn't particularly reactive, and it wasn't particularly creative. I tend not to think of that as so much of a continuum. I think it's very helpful to think of that one as a continuum. I mean, from the excruciating to the mildly unpleasant to the mildly pleasant to the absolutely delightful sort of thing. Whereas it's like, I sort of think, well, I'm either reacting or I'm responding creatively. I don't particularly think of it as, you know, as so much of a continuum. Yeah. Tim?
My understanding of something you said was that it's, if there's pleasure in our experience, that it can be helpful to have that in our awareness. If we also notice there's a craving for that pleasure, is it still useful to have that pleasure in our awareness when we've also noticed this craving that we're doing to do with that pleasure?
Yeah, it's always useful or creative not to exclude from awareness. So I wouldn't want to relate to my experience in terms of, is it useful to have that in my awareness if you're not going to exclude it? Because the excluding is unhelpful. Having said that, what we're doing is we're kind of choosing what to engage with, what to put in the centre of our attention. So take that example. So there's pleasure in my experience, you know, maybe there's some pretty, maybe there's some sukha, maybe I'm really enjoying the sort of state of presence. And there's a bit of craving for that. It's like, I'm just kind of beginning to go where I went 2 years ago and that was really great, so maybe I can get there again, sort of thing. So that's that craving. It's probably worth picking up on the feeling tone of the craving, which you probably find is actually quite unpleasant. So there's actually a pleasurable experience, and along with that, there's this sort of reactive state of mind, which in itself is actually quite an unpleasant experience. So there's a mix of things. And the creative response is to be with, to bring awareness. So the sort of this spiral is one of kind of bringing attention and awareness and being with the pleasurable experience. You could also turn towards the craving, which means bringing awareness to that, being with particularly the unsatisfactory, somewhat painful quality of the actual experience of craving. Yeah. That would also be the craving response.
So bringing awareness to the experience whilst distinguishing, okay, there's craving, there's pleasure, but not just, you're not lumping it all together, just...
Yeah, so the key difference is the mind has this capacity to perceive experience, it's a perceptive capacity. It also has this capacity to follow a chain of thought, a sort of cognitive capacity. So in terms of... to craving, it's probably going to kick off a chain of thought, which is proliferation, kapancha. It's not helpful to get into that chain of thought and pursue it. So that would be a reactive move. It is helpful to just bring this natural human capacity to apprehend experience and kind of recognise it to be as it is. You're sort of really kind of experiencing the actual felt texture and quality of that craving as you experience it, probably quite unpleasant. Mm-hmm. Being prepared to be with that. Mm-hmm. It's not about thinking about it, it's about it's bringing that other more perceptive quality of mind to bear.
I think also our ideas of what pleasure and pain are very wrapped up with our previous conditioning relationship to things. So if you start to look at pleasure more in a narrow kind of sense, what is the sensate experience that is arising? And
relationship to that pleasure changes. The same with pain. So, you know, it's very difficult to start with, I think, when we have a painful experience, say that we can't get past what the mind is saying about this thing.
Yeah.
When we do get past what the mind is saying about this thing, we start to experience it more in a sensible way. Mm-hmm. Our relationship to that thing changes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I find that thing of bringing the worldly and unworldly Vedana, particularly in regard to pleasure, really really helpful. So it's like, learning, when I feel this kind of pleasure, is this something that I know is something that helps me get into more positive states of mind, or is it that kind of pleasure that if I just really go with it, I know that's going to go, you know, it's going to lead me into kind of negative, it's just going to go down, you know, kind of negative states of mind, because then that really helps me to learn on the basis of certain kinds of experience, because I'd say it can be difficult to know, is this helpful or not? But like, if I look at my previous experience, you know, that not to say it doesn't change, but you know, at least it's something to go on.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
And you're able to choose how central, you find you're at least sometimes able to choose how central you may be to awareness.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. So the plan is to. Short exercise, giving it a go, particularly this positive spiral. So I'll bring that up again. And then we can have a little bit of time to talk about how you found out what your experience of that practice was in pairs. So if there's somebody here that you particularly want to pair up with, now's a good time to move next to them. It's otherwise you'll just pair up with the person. Everything is welcome, nothing is a distraction from this practice. And then, having centered your attention there in the present moment of felt experience, particularly noticing what's pleasant there, what's pleasurable in experience. It doesn't need to be strong, it could be quite subtle. So we're not excluding anything or shutting anything out, we're just choosing to take a particular interest, center our attention on the pleasurable felt experience, either in the body or in turning the attention towards that. And then attending to it with openness and sensitivity. And from here we're sort of exploring the experience, taking an interest and attending, dwelling upon it. Turning it around and over in our mind. Keeping the approach open and sensitive. Spacious. And as we do that, we're taking a particular interest in how the experience changes. If it changes. Not trying for or expecting any particular outcome. But we're open to change and exploring, taking an interest in how the experience changes. Finally, more subtly, we're also noticing whether the quality of attention that we bring to this experience has changed, whether the quality of presence by which we're being with this experience is changing. Noticing any qualities of spaciousness or sensitivity or openness or presence. In the relationship with the experience. And noticing if that's changed. your time using the interval on the sound of the bell gradually fades to come slowly out of the practice. There to talk about. There's an opportunity if you wish to share any of that with the larger group. So just really interested in what you found happens when you bring attention and awareness to a more present life experience. Where did that go?
What I noticed was, I took my attention to what's going on, which is painful. But then what I noticed that there was pleasure seems a bit extreme, but it's more word, but it was more like a sort of sucker or a slight easing at in the experience of taking my attention inwards, rather than taking my attention outwards to distraction or thinking or doing something else. So there was a bit of a sense of kind of easing of painful experience.
Okay, yeah. And did you bring your awareness to that sense of easing and sense of succor?
Yeah.
S-U-C-C-O-U-R, it's okay.
Yeah, I don't normally use that word. And so
what was the effect of bringing your attention to that meeting?
What happened was then because I work very imaginally, so I then remembered, I was with myself, yes, I just had a day to myself yesterday, and that was a really lovely day, it's really, so I was encouraging myself to be with my own experience, even though now I'm with a painful experience, whereas yesterday it was more pleasurable,
mm-hmm.
That was the way I encouraged myself to kind of, to carry on doing it, rather than flipping out into distraction.
And did that have an effect? Did anything change as a result of that?
So I suppose I started to move into kind of Shraddha, into faith then, because I started to feel more confident in what I was doing.
Mm. Mm. So
that's my natural bent anyway.
It's a good example of another aspect of this sort of positive spiral, that if we engage creatively, then it has a positive consequence, and then that sort of restores or builds or brings back a sense of confidence in our practice, confidence in the basis of our practice, the three jewels, and then the Kottu Shraddha can come in from there.
It's interesting, I usually focus on something sort of fairly big, and this time I just sat with where I was at and realised that one of the pleasurable things I was feeling was warmth.
Yeah.
And just sitting with that being enough was, it's something I've tried a few times, but actually sticking with it was today was really positive. And then I started noticing all the other sort of very pleasurable feelings, of, you know, light and energy and, you know, prickling energy and and I was saying intermittently in between all this, I was going, oh, your back hurts. but actually also very fleeting, that came in very fleetingly. You know, it's always there, but it came in very fleetingly. So
yeah.
I think the more I practice, the more, the easier it is becoming to not hear that voice all the time, to hear other stuff, you know, like you're warm, it's great.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's helpful to make a point of bringing your attention to something else.
It is, but not in a way of, I didn't aim to distract myself from the pain, So the aim was to actually just be with whatever came up.
Yeah.
And that's what is different to how I normally behave.
So a key difference between what was encouraging and distraction is that certainly for me, distraction is an endeavour not to experience, to distract myself from experience so that I'm not experiencing what's unpleasant. So what I'm encouraging is not doing that, but just choosing where to place the centre of attention and to, what to explore. So it might seem a subtle difference, but it's like everything's welcome to be there, including all of the difficult stuff, all the painfulness, the aches and so on. And along with that, everything being welcome to be there in the broad, the breadth of awareness, there's a particular engagement with a chosen centre of attention. So that's, for me, that's kind of meditation in a nutshell, really. And it was great hearing the way you're describing that, what's that? How do you put it? A sort of an energetic sort of vitality or something?
It's an energy.
Yeah.
And it felt like a physical.
Physical.
Energy, opening.
Yeah.
You know, actually physically opening.
Yeah.
I was saying, it sounds really daft actually, but I was saying that it felt like my head was opening energy. And I'm sure that previously looking at the picture of Ratnasambhava had a huge impact on, you know, how that happened. But it, you know, I did focus on what was there, and as you say, trying to make everything welcome, but then just go, okay, but you're still there, but actually I'm looking at, I'm experiencing warmth at the moment. And it's okay to still have a painful back, but, right there.
So that description of the physical, pleasurable physical experience sounded very much like pretty. And you're finding in your own practice, in your own experience, the way that when you bring your mind to bear on a chosen centre, so you're sort of bringing it to mind, and then exploring, bearing your mind, exploring your mind, then it's a sort of natural outcome for pretty to arise from there. So this is a sort of way that the dhyana factors, in a way, it's like one leads to another. You sort of start with bringing the attention to the practice, so that's vitaka, and then there's this sort of exploration, bearing in mind, turning over in mind, that's vichara. It's quite natural for pretty to arise from the quality of engagement that engenders. And then from there, you're sort of describing this opening, which sounds like it's more in the mind. And would you say that the more open experience was relatively pleasant or relatively neutral or unpleasant?
It was pleasant.
It was pleasant, yeah. So there's a pleasant quality of the state of mind emerging.
Yeah.
So that's perhaps the beginning of sukha, which is a pleasant Vedna in the state of mind. It's not a physical experience, it's something in the state of mind. So you can sort of see, actually, even in a short exercise, you're moving through vitaka, vichara, pritti, and moving towards sukha. So it's like those dhyana factors are just naturally arising and gathering. Okay.